First of all, a very happy 4th of July celebration for all of you. Enjoy your long weekend. I hope you have one. And to all travelers, welcome. Any visitors we have, welcome. And we will pray you home safely. So please be careful on the roads. I find it not the least bit coincidental, but rather providential, that the 4th of July this year of all years lands on Sunday. I see in that God re-emphasizing that this nation, this one nation formed on God, under God, and His Catholic Church are to work in unison. That God gave us this country that His church might be fruitful in this land. Why is it important? And why would we even say that it was formed by God? We'll go back to the beginning, July 4th, 1776, precisely 245 years from today, from this day. The Continental Congress approved the Declaration of Independence, where we stated and claimed our independence from a tyrannical government in England, a singular potentate who would determine who has rights, if any at all, and the many abuses that were outlined in this Declaration of Independence. But I want to draw your attention to this beautiful preamble. We all know it when it begins, but I want to draw your attention to the first half of it. It says, and this here, what you're about to hear, is the principle upon which this country is built. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, I want to step aside and make a parenthetical comment. Please don't let yourself be pulled into this trap of this gender language. That somehow when our forefathers, or even if today we use the word men to describe people, that somehow it's an affront to women. That's not at all the case. And the people who are trying to make this an issue know that. They know that. The word man or men is simply generic for mankind, all people. So let's not fall into the trap where people are making something out of nothing. And so our forefathers said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator. And the word Creator in this preamble is capitalized. We know who they're talking about, the one and true God, the only God, the Creator of us. But their Creator endowed us with certain inalienable rights. Notice where rights come from, or from whom they come. Not from the government. Our rights come from God Almighty. And listen to how this continues. Endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted by men, and they are deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. As I said, God gives mankind our rights. They are an inalienable rights. Life, liberty, or we will say freedom. And the freedom to pursue happiness. The right of self-determination. And that the governed give their rights of authority to certain people. It is not those in authority who give us our rights. That happened in 1776. 15 years later, the Bill of Rights was ratified by the Congress. And it states in the First Amendment, the very first, the one with primacy, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And that's a good thing. Yes, the Catholic priest is saying it's good that the government doesn't establish a religion. Why? Because no government, no human person may dictate to another what they must believe or may not believe. God doesn't do it. God proposes, he gives us the truth, and we have the freedom to accept it or reject it. And depending on our choice, there are blessings or there are curses. But God never dictates, he never forces. And so anybody who would strive to take away these freedoms would by definition not be working on behalf of God. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Now let me tell you what that doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean is that the government is some sort of beneficent authority that says, okay, if you gotta have your religion, we'll let you gather in your church, but keep it there. You know who was comfortable with that practice? The Nazis. They didn't care if people gathered on Sunday for Mass. What they cared about is when you took that faith out on the streets. That's when you got in trouble. The government may not prohibit the free exercise thereof, here or out there, or abridge the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble, unlike we've been seeing for quite some time, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. These are the fundamentals upon which this country was built. This is why we exist. And it is all based on what? Freedom. That is the essence of what it is to be a person of faith. Why? Because freedom is the foundation of love. Without freedom, you cannot have love. Husbands and wives, am I wrong? In order for true love to be true love, it's got to be free. You know the very first thing that we do when a young couple comes from marriage prep in the Catholic Church? We establish their freedom to marry. Are they free to marry? Do they want to be here? And can they be here? We must have freedom. God has given us this great gift. But unfortunately, we have let it drift away. This country founded on God has been under attack for, well, since its inception, but especially in the last 100 years. By who? By an atheistic regime known mostly as communism. Why? Because wherever God is, Satan will attack. And he has been doing so. And he has been successful. How do I know? Look at every institution in our land. Is God allowed in? Not anymore. He's not allowed in our government. He's not allowed in our courts. He's not allowed in our schools. He's not allowed in our media. He's not allowed in our entertainment. He's not allowed in our sports. He's not allowed in. Remember 9/11? What happened? Aside from the assault that took place and the instruments that they used, what happened was God's protective hand was pushed away by us. And the results ensued. God will not force his way in. But what God will do is send prophets. You see, this issue is nothing new. This has been going on for all of salvation history. Go back to our first reading. God sent the prophet Ezekiel to the Israelites. As the Lord spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard the one who was speaking say to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, rebels who have rebelled against me. Rebels then, and rebels today. He sent Ezekiel, he sent Isaiah, he sent Jeremiah, he sent Amos, he sent Baruch, he sent all the prophets. And as our Lord says, they are hard of face and obstinate of heart, and that is to whom you are being sent. But you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, and whether they heed or resist, they'll know that a prophet has been among them. But prophets aren't just a thing from the past. What is a prophet? A prophet is not a fortune teller. A prophet is one chosen by God to speak to his people on his behalf. And he's been sending prophets down through the ages up to the present day. People like Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen, who warned us in the 1950s, 60s, and 70s to be aware of this coming onslaught of atheist to communism. We didn't heed his message. A prophet by the name of Saint Pope John Paul the Great, when he came to America on his first trip, said, "You have been given a great gift, freedom." Remember where he came from? Communistic Poland, communist-controlled Poland. So you've been given a great freedom in this country, or a great gift in this country, freedom. He said, but with it comes a greater responsibility, that you use it for the good, to protect life from the conception to natural death, to protect marriage as God has designed it between one man and one woman, to be open to life, to protect God's holy family. And before him, his predecessor, Saint Pope Paul VI, who gave us that landmark document, Humanae Vitae, where he predicted, he prophesied what would happen if we fell to the temptations of secularism through artificial birth control, pornography, and abortion, the breakdown of the family, divorce skyrocketing, and children being effective orphans. He's spot on. But those prophets didn't stop there, because they've come even more locally. People like Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke. Yes, our former bishop. After him, Jerome Edward Listecki. And now William Patrick Callahan. Working with them, people like Joseph Hensler, Woodrow Pace, Father Warkey Joseph, I won't try his last name. And now he got me. We don't listen to the prophet because of the man. We listen to the prophet because of the message he brings from Almighty God. What's that message? We are at war. I don't mean that metaphorically. We are at war. There is a war raging for souls. And we're in the midst of the battle, whether we believe it or not, whether we want to be or not. And we're outgunned. We don't have money. We certainly don't pick up arms in this war. Humanly speaking, we don't have a chance. We're weak. We're under-equipped, humanly speaking. What does St. Paul tell us in the second reading today? I am content with weaknesses, with insults, hardships, persecutions, and constraints for the sake of Christ, for it is when I am weak that I am strong. It is when I am weak that I am made strong, and him who strengthens me, how? With his body and blood. The Holy Eucharist is the nuclear weapon of this war, this battle for souls. And you and I dare to come and receive Him. We're here where heaven and earth meet. That we might be strengthened and equipped to go out there and wage peaceful war, not on people, but on principalities and powers. It's not us against them. It's us on behalf of them. And we'd rescue our brothers and sisters from the clutches of atheism and secularism and bring them home here. That we might be truly one nation under God once again. I want to share with you from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves. If my people humble themselves and pray and seek my face, not just going through the motions, the Israelites did that greatly, but to pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. On this 4th of July, we celebrate our independence from a tyrannical government. But dare we ever seek our independence from God who created us? I no longer pray, may God bless America. My prayer now is, may we allow God to bless America.